Arjunavacha,
Arjuna
Ayati Sharayo Peto, Yogachati Manasa, Aprapya Yoga Samsidim, Kamgatim Krishna Gachati, Arjunavacha. Arjuna said, Ayati, the unsuccessful transcendentalist, Sharaya, with faith, Upeta, engaged, Yoga, from the mystic link, Chalita, deviated, Manasa, who has such a mind, Aprapya, failing to obtain, Yoga Samsiddhim, the highest perfection in mysticism, Kam, which, Katim, destination, Krishna, O Krishna, Gachati, achieves. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith, but who later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not attain perfection in mysticism? Purport. The path of self-realization or mysticism is described in the Bhagavad Gita. The basic principle of self-realization is knowledge that the living entity is not this material body, but that he is different from it, and that his happiness is in eternal life, bliss, and knowledge. These are transcendental, beyond both body and mind. Self-realization is sought by the path of knowledge, by the practice of the Eightfold System, or by Bhakti Yoga. In each of these processes, one has to realize the constitutional position of the living entity, his relation with God, and the activities whereby he can reestablish his lost link and achieve the highest perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness. Following any of the above mentioned three methods, when assured to reach the supreme goal sooner or later. This was asserted by the Lord in the second chapter. Even a little endeavor on the transcendental path offers a great hope for deliverance. Out of these three methods, the path of Bhakti Yoga is especially suitable for this age because it is the most direct method of God realization. To be doubly assured, Arjuna is asking Lord Krishna to confirm his former statement. One may sincerely accept the path of self-realization, but the process of knowledge and the practice of Eightfold Yoga Mysticism system are generally very difficult for this age. Therefore, despite constant endeavor, one may fail for many reasons. First of all, one may not be sufficiently serious about following the process. To pursue the transcendental path is more or less to declare war on the illusory energy. Consequently, whenever a person tries to escape the clutches of the illusory energy, she tries to defeat the practitioner by various allurements. A conditioned soul is already lured by the modes of material energy, and there is every chance of being allured again even while performing transcendental disciplines. This is called yoga, chalati manasa, deviation from the transcendental path. Arjuna is inquisitive to know the results of deviation from the path of self-realization. Ayati shariyope, Arjuna vacha, yati shariyope to yoga chalati manasa, aprapya yoga samsiddhim, kamgatim Krishna gachati. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith, but later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not attain perfection in mysticism? Arjuna is asking someone who takes the process with faith. And I've already been talking about faith. Faith. Shraddha Shabde Vishvasakahe Sudrida Nishchai. Faith actually means firm faith. That if you take up some process and then very quickly you desist from it, that's not faith. Now, in conditioned life, we have faith in so many things. We have, and that faith is based on our aspiration, specifically to become happy. Now, if someone is unhappy, suffering in the material world, then artha-arthi, faith, that devotional service will help one free one from the suffering, means that one will take the Krishna consciousness specifically for that reason. One who wants material comfort, then arthas, then they may take the devotional service for that reason. And one who is inquisitive to understand how the material energy and spiritual energy works, the jignasus, they take to devotional service for that reason. And one who takes the devotional service to get liberated from all material conceptions, he takes, that is called jnani, he takes the devotional service for that reason. But even when one is takes the devotional service from one ulterior motive, still there's every chance of falling down. If one is a mudha, and there are no shortages of mudhas, one is in the mode of ignorance and one thinks that the whole idea of life is just to gratify the senses and that there's no other purpose in life. Other than that, everything else is just imaginary. You can just forget about it. They're called mudhas. And when a mudha becomes a little pious by good of association, and they associate with devotees, then they're called shudras. And they can be engaged in Krishna service somehow or another. But their objective, like the mudhas, is to get free from material suffering. They serve the higher classes, but they simply want to become free from their suffering. And when they get free from their suffering, when they take the devotional service and in good association, control their senses to some degree, give up gross sense gratification to some degree, then the result is that they, after some lifetimes of practicing, of being a shudra and following regular principles to some extent, they eventually become qualified to be called vaishyas. Or, in the other terminology, artis. And they come to become civilized. They're the beginning of civilized, something like civilized life, protecting cows and cultivating the land. But when the same people who have become vaishyas or artis, they decide to commit sinful activities with their accumulated pious activities, then they become naradamas, which is the predominant type of people who live in current society. In the past lifetimes, they performed some pious activities, but they gave, in this lifetime, they've given them up, the results of they've taken the results of their pious activities, and they've decided to perform more sinful activities. So they're called naradamas. They have the opportunity of the human form of life to make advancement in knowledge, but they misuse it, their education, for a simply gross sense gratification or subtle sense gratification. Now, of all those potential naradamas, there are a few who are actually a little bit pious, or in this age they're chanting Hare Krishna. And so in their next lifetime, or in this lifetime, they become jignasu. They're not just satisfied with having a nice prasadam and a place to sleep and a relatively peaceful life. They actually start thinking, what am I doing here? What's this all about? Where am I? What's the purpose? what am I actually trying to achieve? They become inquisitive. They become reflective. I heard there's a rumor that I might even die. Is that true? So they become a little inquisitive to find out whether that's true or not. And where am I going to go? If someone comes in here and grabs you by the arm and starts dragging you out of the room, the first thing you might ask is, how's the weather outside, by the way? You would ask them, where are you taking me? Since we're going to only be in this body for a very short period of time, anyone here is going to live more than 100 years from now? We're not very optimistic about that. We're only going to be here maybe 20, 40, 50, 70 years, 100 years. And how many years after we leave this body, how many years will it exist after we leave this body? 100 years? 1,000 years? 1,000,000 years? 10 trillion years? How many years are we going to exist? So compared to our future existence, what is the duration of this lifetime? How important is the duration of this lifetime compared to our future after this body? Can anyone remember what body they had in their last lifetime? How long do you think it lasted for? Do you have any idea? And how seriously we did take the last lifetime. Oh, I can't die. It would be unfair. I'm not going to get another body. You know, I like this one too much. Besides that, it's all over Facebook, and people will be disappointed if I leave. But where is that body now? How long did we have it for? We don't even know. And what about our next body? What are we going to get? So this is jignasu, inquisitive. Where am I going to go after this body? And what does that depend upon? And if we become jnanis, we realize that we're not this body, or jignasus. When the jignasus become sinful, they're called maya priti jnanas. That whatever intelligence they cultivated was stolen by illusion, and they're simply utilizing their advanced knowledge, comparatively advanced knowledge, to prove that they're actually smarter than everyone else. They're called maya priti jnanas. They have knowledge, but their knowledge is stolen by illusion. They become proud and puffed up. They don't realize that the purpose of knowledge is to cultivate humility and character. But instead of that, they're cultivating being proud and arrogant. And so therefore their knowledge is just like feeding milk to a snake. If you feed milk to a snake, then the snake will simply become more poisonous. So if one becomes puffed up and proud of their accumulated knowledge, then they become a maya priti jnana, and eventually they try to prove that they're actually God. But if one can advance beyond the jignasu and actually take shelter of the higher personalities, the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas, then when they become a jnani, a realized soul. Jayate janmana shudra. By birth, everyone is born as a shudra. And janmana jayate shudra, samskarat bhavat bija. And by samskaras, by the proper association, one may become twice born. One may realize that actually there's more than just eating and sleeping in this world. That's called dvija. And veda panta bhavat vipra. And when one becomes a vipra and has some patience and some ability to concentrate, then one may study the Vedas and become learned, one gets some knowledge. Brahma janatiti brahmanaha. And the actual purpose of the learning is to realize we're not this body, that we're eternal servants of Krishna. So So when the Maya Pratigyanas, well, when the Jnanas become Jnanis, some of them actually take up devotional service. Brahma, Buddha, Prasanatma, Yashoshiti, Nakangshiti, Samak Sarveshu, Bhuteshu, Madhvaktim, Lavate, Param. They actually get free from all hankering, lamentation. They start treating everyone as Krishna's eternal servant, all living entities. And from that position, they become free from all anxiety and they can enter into real devotional service. And some of them become Maya, they become Asram Bhavam Ashitya. Some of those Jignasus, they cultivate knowledge, they get knowledge, but they declare themselves to be God, or God is dead, or that they're the Supreme, or they want to become, they become Mayavadis, whatever. So Maya is always there. We work hard to get to a certain level, but unless we know what the ultimate goal is, to develop the characteristics of a pure devotee, to actually become a pure devotee, then we may become infatuated by different levels of achievement in the material world. There are not only different levels of achievement on this planet, there are different planets where, as we've heard, that the duration of life is many, many times longer, and the amount of sense gratification available there is thousands of times greater. So one may become attracted. On the way back, the Vaikuntha airplane's taking us back to the spiritual world. We passed by Indra Loki and said, can you make it stop? I have to use the restroom. Oh, by the way, maybe we can stay a little while here, maybe, you know, 2 yugas. Just want to check it out, you know. I want to take some photos of the Nandangahandana forest and some of the inhabitants there, and when I'm at Vaikuntha, I can send them some postcard. Wish you were here. So Maya was always going to try and trick us, tell us to make a few stops in the material world along. Didn't you ever want to see a four-headed man on a swan? Could you stop by here for a while? So Maya will always try to allure us, you know, just take a break. You've been doing so much service. You deserve it. You're a nice devotee. I want to give you some nice reward for your devotion. And that's explained in the Brihadbhagavatamrita. Gop Kumar is going from one place to the other in the universe. And he's spending some time there, actually. But Brihadbhagavatamrita is written over many lifetimes. Although it appears very quick, he gets entangled there. He's on this planet, he's on Indraloka, Maraloka, and Janaloka. He's there for some time. So we can go back to Godhead in this life or shortly afterwards, or we can stay around the material world, check out a few spots, do a little sightseeing, and hopefully not get entangled. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. We often hear about the higher planets that they have very long lives, but on the other hand, we also hear that everybody's life is 100 years.
Yes.
So if it is their subjective perception that they live 100 years, then how do they enjoy such a long life?
They don't. They enjoy. But time goes quicker. The more you enjoy, the quicker time goes. Did you ever have anyone drill on a tooth? You know, it's how slow time goes. It'll just be a minute. It's been half an hour. The more you suffer, the slower time goes. That time is relative according to how happy or suffering you are. You ever notice you want it, there's a big feast, you're looking forward to it, it has all the nice preparations that you wanted, how fast did they go away? They just disappear. On the other hand, if you have to do something you don't want to do, how slow time goes. So that time is all relative. There's no absolute. Time is really eternal time. We're living in transcendental time. But material time is just experienced relatively to the happiness and distress that we're going through.
So by their own count, they live 100 years.
Yeah. It feels like, for them, it feels like 100 years. You know, otherwise, it says that Devaki and Vasudeva in their previous life, Sutapa and what was her name?
Prishni.
Prishni, yeah. They executed penances eating leaves for 60,000 years of the demigods or something. And how can you do that unless time is going really quick? What's for what lunch? Would you like the brown leaf or the green one? After 60,000 years. But for them, it went really quick. Because their time is relative. They were actually, although they were not eating, they were had other sources of happiness. But we can't. We have experience like that. But to understand on a higher platform how time is going on. Just like you go to sleep at night. Does it feel like 6 hours? You wake up, that was a long time. I did so many things in my dream last night. I'm tired, you know. I got to wake up, take some rest. No, we don't even notice that time went by. But did it go by? Of course it went by. We didn't notice anything. Okay.
As you mentioned that we should know what the goal is. So we may know what the goal is to become a pure devotee, but we may not desire it. So is it so that we have to grow through the path of material reactions that we may desire a proper goal?
Krishna is arranging. Well, first of all, we should know what the goal is. Now, if they tell you the goal is you're going to go to a place where you're going to live forever, you think, well, that's not very interesting. Anything else? You're going to be blissful all the time. Well, that sounds pretty boring. You're going to know exactly at every moment, everything will be as clear as day, exactly at every moment, what you have to do to become ever more blissful and happy. Well, I don't want that, you know. A little suffering is pretty good, you know. Always want to have my teeth drilled out, you know. Go through my baby teeth every birth after birth. You know, kind of like it, you know. Learn again, 1 + 1 = 2. No, you fool, you know. So, we hear that the goal that we become blissful and loving and happy, and we know exactly what to do at every moment to become more blissful and happy eternally. Does that sound good?
Sounds overwhelming.
Yeah, that's right. It's supposed to be overwhelming. Sure, you know, I'll try it out for a day or two. If I don't like it, I'll go back to my misery, my ignorance and misery. No, it's supposed to be overwhelming. But we can only gradually get there. So we find out where we're at now, what the goal is, and we find out all the in-between steps. We take it one step at a time. If you want to walk from here to downtown, how do you get there? Take one step at a time. You know what the goal is, but you have to take it one step at a time. Anything else? Yes. Microphone.
Hare Krishna, I would like to know how to develop good character, character of humility.
Take prasadam. Chant Hare Krishna. Here, well, there are 5 powerful processes. And if we take to them sincerely, and with, as Prabhupada said, the art of Krishna consciousness is the art of focusing one's attention and giving one's love to Krishna. So Krishna is appearing before us in 5 powerful forms. One of them is chanting the holy name. The other is serving the deities. The other is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. The other one is, the fourth one is serving the devotees. And the fifth one is trying to make the atmosphere spiritual in the temple and by preaching outside the temple. So that if we concentrate our minds on these five powerful processes and we give our love to them, our feelings for them, to Krishna in this form, then gradually our normal character, our spiritual character will be developed. Like if you water the tree, then gradually it grows, or the creeper of bhakti, it grows and grows and grows. Keep on watering it by hearing and chanting and service, and eventually it breaks through the coverings of the material universe, comes to the Vaikuntha and goes beyond that. It sprouts leaves and fruits and flowers in Vaikuntha. Is that right? Okay, thank you very much. Grandiraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.